makes them grow up with big, strong digging claws. Nor gives us molars more pleasure and joy than turnip and tater and beetroot pie.
Palin, Rose, Martin and Grum lay back exhausted, picking idly at half-filled bowls and sipping their drinks, contented after the long, hard day's work. It was then that Boulder dropped out of the sky like a thunderbolt with her news.
Chapter 36.
Three pairs of eyes watched Feldo set off silently into the rosy dawn that tinged the cliff tops. Brome nodded to his two otter companions.
There he goes, laden with enough javelins to stock an army. Come on, let's follow him.
Feldo's mood was light and carefree now that he had set out to complete his lone mission. With a bundle of javelins beneath each arm and his thrower strapped across his back, he hummed a cheerful little tune. What need of armies and hordes? He could rid the world of Badrang by himself. Once the tyrant was dead, Marshank would be a snake without a head. White-crested rollers boomed in over the shore. The sun seemed to smile out of a cloudless sky of powder blue, and a cooling breeze drove the thin layer of sun-worn sand aimlessly around the foot of the cliffs. For the first time in many seasons, Feldo's heart felt light. Cautiously, the gates of Marshank creaked open, and a phalanx of horde beasts, armed to the fangs, filed outside. Crosstooth looked all around to reassure himself there was no immediate danger of attack. Badrang appeared on the wall top with scores of archers and slingers. He shielded his eyes against the sun's glare as he issued orders.
Search every rock, hollow, dune and outcrop from here to the sea.
He stood enjoying the morning's warmth, the light wind blowing his cloak playfully about as he watched his soldiers scouring the beach. Crosstooth was near the tide line. He waved his spear from side to side, calling aloud.
All clear down here, Lord. No sign of any beast.
Badrang cupped paws about his mouth, shouting a reply.
Get those beasts dug in where they can't be seen.
Crosstooth ran back and forth, placing the soldiers in position. Some were behind rocks, others lay flat on the seaward side of low dunes, the rest dug shallow trenches above the tide line. Tramonclog rested one clogged paw on his spade, cackling as he called up to the tyrants.
You got those beauties digging their own graves. That'll save me some work, matey.
Nipwort and Frogbit, the two rat guards who had been left in charge of the corsair, prodded him with their spears.
They're digging slit trenches to keep themselves alive in case of attack. Now you get on with burying the dead.
Clog dug with ferocious energy, muttering to himself.
Ha ha! Wait till old Trabin's digging your grave, Badrang. I'll dig it deep and handsome. Aye, and put a great rock atop of it, so you won't be a-climbing out again. Oh, that'll be a glorious day in the life of Captain Trammon, Josiah, Cuttlefish, Clog, to give me my full title. You won't be able to badmouth me when I'm throwing spadefuls of good earth in your ugly garb, Badrang.
Bog stood atop the battlements, peering southward. He leaped down and ran to make his report.
One beast coming along the cliffs in this direction, Lord.
Badrang was slightly taken aback.
Only one?
Aye, just a loner. Still a fair way off, but I spotted him.
The tyrant pulled the closest two archers to him.
Rottnose, wet paw, get down there as quick as you can. Tell Crosstooth to hide with the others. You two do the same. When I shout the word Marshank aloud, break cover and capture this one. Hurry now. Tell every beast to be totally silent. If he sniffs a trap, he'll be off.
Once the two messengers had departed, Badrang turned to his archers.
Down, all of you. Be quiet and keep your heads low. Remember, the word is Marshank. You, Whelp, go and shut the front gates.
As Feldo trotted along from the cliffs to the shore, he hardly noticed the unusual silence that hung over the fortress. Had he been more vigilant, he might have noticed the telltale signs that the foe were lying in concealment on the beach. But the squirrel's vengeful eyes were riveted on just one thing, Badrang, standing out bold and alone on the wall top over the gates. Feldo's paws gripped the javelins like vices, and his teeth made a grinding noise as his jaw muscles bulged. the breath hissing fiercely from both his nostrils. Now he broke into a run, his paws pounding rock and dry sand as he sped along, oblivious to all else but the figure of his most hated enemy. At the edge of the cliffs, Brome threw himself flat with Keeler and Tolgrew either side of him.
Is he mad? Look at him!
They watched the javelin-carrying squirrel skid to a halt within earshot of Badrang. Tolgrew bit her clenched paw.
He's going to be killed. I can feel it in my bones. Surely they wouldn't let a lone escaped slave run up to the place like that in broad daylight.
Keeler watched in horrified fascination, unable to tear his eyes away from the scene.
You're right. I'll bet my rudder he's walked into some sort of trap. Maybe we can shout a warning.
I think we're too far away, but let's give it a try. Shout his name. 1, 2, 3. Shout!
Feldo!
The three voices rang out as one. Tolgrew struck the cliff top with a clenched paw.
I don't think he heard us. Or even if he did, he isn't paying any heed to us. What in the name of thunder is he doing down there?
I don't know, but something awful's going to happen. I'd take my oath on that. I think one of us should go back to camp and bring help quickly.
I'll go.
Brome cast off his healing bag and began wriggling backwards. Keeler went into a low crouch, dashing past Brome.
You stay here, mate. I'm the best runner in these parts.
Leaping upright, he took off with dust spurting from his heels. Wordlessly, Feldo dropped his bundle of javelins. Taking the throwing stick, he fitted one along it. Bending his whole body back, he sighted along the shaft and hailed it with tremendous force at Badrang. The tyrant was a fair distance away. He saw the javelin launched and leaped to one side, watching it as it sped harmlessly by. Leaning on the wall, he called out scornfully,
"Try another one, squirrel!"
Feldo did, this time at a short run and skip to give his javelin impetus. Badrang had dropped below the wall as the missile was thrown. He heard the thin whistle of wind as it passed overhead. Smiling, he stood up and shouted at the squirrel, who was just about within earshot.
"Best you can do, slave!"
"I'm not a slave of yours! My name is Feldo, and I've come here to kill you, Badrang!"
Another javelin came hurtling through the air. This time, Badrang jumped back to his former position, shrugging expressively as the pointed wood sailed off toward the back wall of the fortress.
"Tat, tat! Missed again! You'll run out of those things soon!"
Quivering with rage, Feldo held up a javelin in both paws. He broke it as if it were a straw.
"I could break you like that if you weren't such a mud-sucking coward! Come down and fight me, paw to paw, beast to beast!"
Badrang swept his paws wide.
"No doubt you have laid a trap for me. Those cliffs will be swarming with your friends, ready to leap up and come running to the attack at your signal. The same group you had with you last night, treacherously slaying my creatures in the darkness. Do you take me for a fool?"
Feldo moved closer to the fortress, as Badrang hoped he would. Throwing caution to the winds as his temper got the better of him, the squirrel curled his lip contemptuously.
"You are both a fool and a coward. Last night there was only me out here. I am as you see me now, without any army or horde, and without a fortress wall to hide behind like you have. So come out and fight, poltroon, craven cur, dithering idiot!"
Suddenly the positions were reversed. Badrang could hear his archers below the wall sniggering. Stung by Feldo's insults, the tyrant drew his sword.
"No beast uses words like that to me. I am Lord Badrang. Get ready to die, squirrel. I am coming down."
Even in his rage, the tyrant was still playing the odds. Armed with a sword, he was sure he could defeat the squirrel, who had only some short wooden stakes to defend himself. As a last resort, he could always call in his soldiers. They had his adversary surrounded. As Badrang pushed past the grinning archers, he swore silently to himself that he would slay the bold squirrel, wiping away any doubts in the mind of his horde that he, Badrang, was a leader to be feared and respected. Brome gasped in amazement as the fortress gates swung open and Badrang walked out alone to face Feldo. Tolgrew shook her head.
"I don't believe it. Whatever Feldo's been saying must have stung Badrang into action. Look, they're going to fight!"
Brome stared at the lone figure, and all his hostility to Feldo evaporated. He remembered the squirrel's words, that he would die if it was necessary to bring down Badrang and Marshank. The young mouse found himself wishing that he possessed the bravery to be a warrior and help his friend by standing alongside him. Badrang leaped at Feldo, cleaving only empty air with his sword as his adversary skipped back nimbly. Gripping the sword tight in both paws, the stoat rushed in, swinging wildly, hoping to overwhelm his foe with the ferocity of the attack. Feldo was like a stinging hornet. He weaved in under the flailing blade, jabbing at the tyrant's face with his javelin as he flashed by. Badrang turned, drawing in his breath sharply as he felt blood trickle from a small wound on his jaw. Balanced lightly on his foot paws, Feldo grinned insolently, threw himself into a swift roll, and whacked his adversary hard on the shin with the wooden shaft. Badrang yelped with pain, spinning fast and chopping down with his sword. He chopped only sand, arching his back as the wicked javelin point raked a long scratch on it. Breathing heavily, he held the sword point forward and low, shuffling slowly towards the squirrel, watching for a sudden move. Feldo stood his ground, eyeing the sword carefully as it rose fractionally, guessing the exact moment Badrang would choose to thrust. The stoat lunged. Feldo skipped sideways, bringing the javelin down with numbing force on his opponent's left paw. Tears sprang unbidden to the stoat's eyes as he held onto the sword with his right paw, the left stinging and throbbing as it hung limp at his side. Feldo was still smiling, adding insult to injury. Badrang feigned helplessness for a moment, trying to move his deadened paw. Suddenly, he dropped flat, rolled over, and swung out wildly. Feldo was taken by surprise. The blade cut deep into his foot paw. Badrang moved in for the kill, swinging the sword in his good paw. The butt of the javelin struck him hard in the stomach, knocking his breath out in a sharp gasp. He doubled over, fighting for air. Whack! The wooden haft struck the sword into the air. It curved in a shining arc, landing point down in the sand as Badrang's right paw fell numbly to his side. Holding the javelin in both paws like a quarterstave, Feldo knocked his enemy flat on the shore. Ignoring his injured foot paw, the squirrel raised the javelin. He brought it down with punishing force. Tulgru clapped a paw across her eyes.
Has he killed him? I can't look. Is Badrang slain?
Brom shook his head in astonishment.
No, Feldo is beating him with the javelin as if it were a rod.
Tulgru uncovered her eyes, smiling with grim satisfaction.
Aye, just as he used to have slaves beaten. Lay it on, Feldo.
Badrang tried to curl up into a ball, yelping as he rolled about on the ground. The javelin rose and fell across his back, each stroke punctuated by Feldo's harsh shouts.
How does it feel to be beaten like a slave, O mighty one?